Friday, flew to Sweden, to Stockholm, and then we drove to the next morning to Jönköping, which is sort of halfway between Malmö, Gothenburg, and Stockholm, selected purposely to attract more people from those cities, all of them, instead of making it hard on two to travel 6 hours, everybody had to travel about 3 hours or so. And that was that initial assembly of the members or of those who were available. We had about 60, 70 people in the audience. They gave me a chance to talk about platform, Bosnia and Herzegovina, future, and I answered questions that lasted probably an hour and a half, and then went into the session where they selected, voted on the delegates, presented the candidates for the board that will govern Sweden. So this was the establishment of the platform for Sweden, Platform for Progress Sweden. They already got registered formally, and now they had the first meeting, the assembly of all the members, the candidates for the I believe 7 positions where presented themselves, and then everybody voted, and now we have the group of people and the president who will, and they will elect the vice president among themselves. They will be the ones who will be guiding the development of Platform for Progress in Sweden. They will establish chapters in each city. And basically, we go from there. This is the first one, the first such organization established in diaspora, Bosnia and Herzegovina diaspora. I believe that Switzerland, Italy, and Germany will follow soon. Of course, we have started activities in the United States of America, as well as planning to start in Australia. And I forgot to mention Sunday, coming back, Saturday, sorry, coming back from the event that started at noon and lasted all the way to 6 p.m. On the way back, we stopped in one city, house of apartment condo, one of the supporters, and had our Sunday Facebook live feed from there. The next morning, flew to the United States, went to DC, where I was one of the people organizing a conference on complexity and policy. And that lasted for 3 days. We had a wonderful group of people. This is a small conference by design to establish this field at the intersection of complexity science and policy making. And wonderful presentations, keynotes about the future of the world and what to do about it. And I am planning, together with Mirzeta, my wife, to go to St. Louis at their invitation this Friday, or Saturday. We will have another town hall meeting. There was one already in St. Louis during the campaign. I don't believe that we will have a fundraising dinner, but this is the plan for St. Louis to address people of St. Louis, the Bosnians and Herzegovinians who live in St. Louis, some of the larger cities in this area. It's probably we appear on a radio show, Bosnian radio in St. Louis. What also we have planned while I'm here is a fundraising dinner in Chicago on the weekend of May 2nd. And we also have this initial assembly Forum for Progress in North Carolina. It will take place 28th of April.
One thing that came to mind when you've been back for two or three conferences that I know of, are these platforms where you can talk some about what it is you're doing in Bosnia, or is it not the right time to do it, or can you share when you're not presenting to get the message out as to what's happening and perhaps involvement from others?
Great question. I'm often asked by people at those events about my political engagement. People want to know why, how, what is happening now, what's happening in Bosnia, what are we doing, what am I doing? And they would like to talk more. I'm hesitant because I don't want those appearances that are scientific in nature to be seen as promotion in any sense, and so I'm very quiet, and I don't, unless asked, I don't talk about it. This time it was different though, however, because it is about policy and complexity, people want to know what is happening on the ground. They're so curious about what's happening mostly there. I had to speak up several times at their request about things that are happening in Bosnia and how those things could be modeled and how a situation in Bosnia can be a really challenge for computational models and why and how then those models can be actually designed better and improved because of my experience in Bosnia, because of the data collection and so on. Also, it was really interesting this time because I was chairing a session that included a talk by a couple. She's a social scientist and her husband is a physicist, who designed a model to address the issues that have three parties. Last year they presented a model for where two parties are at odds in conflict and how that can be modeled. And now they wanted to do three parties, and they use Bosnia as an example. And they were very nervous about presenting because I was there and I presumably knew more than they did. They did about Bosnia-Herzegovina itself, the situation there, as well as the modeling. However, I told them that they have no reason for any anxiety, and I helped them out through that presentation just to clarify a couple of things for the people in the audience. And yeah, this is really very good effort. But that's another a case where my engagement in Bosnia was actually a plus for the scientific side, because I could contribute to the better understanding of the complexity of the situation and the modeling and simulation and agent-based modeling. It actually gave rise to many questions from the audience, and it was very interesting. And also throughout the conference, this experience in Bosnia gave me the opportunity to ask questions of researchers that were focused on theory, but rooted in my experience in Bosnia, where I was able to question decisions and point at possible answers, exactly because of the type of things I've done in Bosnia. Given the fact that my interests abroad and that I seek conferences and places where I can talk about both the computational modeling on one hand and the application of those models in social sciences, economic systems, religious situations, conflict situations, things that require better understanding of human behavior. I find myself increasingly in a situation to realize that I benefit from my experience in politics in Bosnia, even in my competitional spectrum. So great question, thank you.
And we've talked about it a little bit, and I'm asking because my conversation with Emerging Europe this morning too, but you had mentioned that post-election and moving forward, you hadn't anticipated as many town hall type meetings that were going on prior to the election that are occurring now. And it sounds like that's a process that's being continued in the European countries, and it's a process that's ongoing here. Explain that approach a little bit, and I'm presuming that you're on new ground here as well with this. I can't believe the other parties over there would even think about doing town hall meetings now, let alone getting closer to an election or something.
Well, that's my style. I'm fine with TV appearances and conversations with various kinds of media. But I'm most on my own when I am in a direct contact with people. And those town hall meetings are really just an opportunity for them to ask questions, to express frustration, to offer solutions, to offer suggestions. And that direct sort of democracy conversation with people is something that I really cherish. And it seems that they like as well, because more often than not, we are now conducting those town hall meetings in standing room only situations. More and more interest is there. So I love them. I told you the last time I was with students before I came to the US in the dorm, and their interest was amazing. Their questions were different. Their eyes were differently filled with emotions and energy. They invited me to come back once a month because we talked about everything, education, their life, positioning oneself for a good career, good life. And I really thrive in those situations in the sense that I'm not claiming I'm really good or excellent at anything. I'm just claiming that I feel good in those situations.
You're in your element.
I learn in those situations. I learn from people, you see the body language, see who will ask a question or not, whether they hesitate or not, type of issues they bring up, the perspectives they have, younger, older. And so those town hall meetings are precious. And the best way for people to get to know you, and after that they want to take a picture with you and they want to also ask questions that they were afraid to ask in front of everybody else. So I love those. It's hard to see every community because there are so many. But I think it's the best way to present yourself truly who you are. And it's not enough what the politicians normally do. They either give a talk in a very structured environment and then they leave, or they just go through the crowds and shake. And without really a possibility for a meaningful conversation. What I do is offer an opportunity for a meaningful conversation every time we meet. Because whatever I talk, and I never read, I only read once, and that was for our the assembly where we founded the platform. I didn't want any word to be missed. But I don't read. I basically, and often I didn't even know what I'm going to talk about, how I will structure the presentation. I start and then I look at the reaction of the people and probe and explore and see what's most interesting to them, what is on their minds, because then I go in that direction. And my presentation is always just to deprive the conversation so that they know where I stand, where you're going, but you know, they didn't like criticism, comments, questions, solutions, whatever. And it's that second half that is the most meaningful. That's where they come in with their opinions, with their concerns, with their worries. And even though, and it's not always wonderful, always how you create it, people are genuinely concerned about the situation. And want to have some assurances that whatever we do will make a meaningful contribution, that the exploring where our hearts are. And I find it to be very, very, very useful for them, hopefully, and certainly for me.
Is it safe to say that the town hall meeting approach, it's a comfort zone for you because you, that's your element, you want to engage. But is it safe to say this is something that you bring just personally, or is it, because we see them all the time in the U.S. during the political process, there are town hall meetings. Is it something that you're bringing from the U.S. and trying it over there? Or is it a combination? I'm just curious.
It is a... I only use the term, the only thing that I use from the U.S. is the term town hall meeting. Town hall meetings in the U.S. are, the candidates are there from opposing parties and people ask questions. And it's scripted. People have to, the questions are vetted. They know who will ask the question in what order. And so while revealing, it is still not spontaneous. It is still scripted, structured. My town hall meetings, and I don't have a better term for it, mm-hmm. I should invent one, is more informed by my educational background, where you really present something, lecture, in an interactive way. But then you really open it up for questions, and you basically want your students to learn, and you want to learn from them. So it is that what I find useful. Because you know, when you present for 30, 45 minutes, first of all, they want to see who you are. They want to see how you present, how you relate to them. They want to see what policies you have in mind. And that actually answers probably 90% of the questions. Otherwise, we would have been there for 5 or 6 hours straight. And then you go into questions. And often, there's a question, there's a rebuttal, there's a question, there's an answer, and there's a rebuttal, and then, oh, wait, I forgot to say that. And then somebody says, wait a second, then what you say is fine. But how about this? And so one question, one answer leads to a million other questions, and people who didn't even want to ask questions suddenly find themselves to be very eager to ask those questions. And so it's very spontaneous. None is scripted. I never ask a list of questions, even from my media interviewers. I have never requested a list of questions to be provided. Often I don't even ask what the topic is about. But they often offer and let me know. But I don't, I'm prepared to talk about anything and everything that I possibly could know something about at any point with anybody on any subject. I want the people to see me who I genuinely am. And if I'm not consistent in the set of beliefs that I have, then I would have to prepare myself and just to stay on point and to be consistent. And I don't need that because my approach, who I am, is consistent, and I have no need to polish. I know I'm going to make mistakes, but they will be also who I am, and I want people to know exactly who I am when they vote and what they know what to get. I don't need any artificial anything fake about me. And so when I speak my mind, and I'm not afraid of improvisation. Then I don't claim to be right, correct, or anything like that. I just claim to be me.
And we chatted about this some last week, and I will ask again in a different way. This, obviously, it was your vision to bring change and hope to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Has this taken off more? Because I sense and hear the excitement in your voice about what's happening in Bosnia and Herzegovina, neighboring European countries, what's starting to happen here in the U.S. Has this taken off more quickly than you had originally anticipated, or is it just playing its course?
You talk about the way that the platform is developing?
Just and being embraced by...
I'm often asked whether I am surprised by what is happening, or is it in line with what I expected? And I'm very honest when I say this. I went into this with no expectations, positive or negative. It was something that I deeply believe now that I was destined to do, that everything that I've done in my life actually led to what I was preparing for this. And I find this to be something that I thoroughly, completely am enjoying in terms of finding them to be really, really good match with my personality and my interests. Still not claiming I'm good at it or anything, I'm just saying it's a really good. I am very positively glad that the response that I'm getting is overwhelmingly positive, hopeful, encouraging, motivating on their part and on my part. That there's definitely hope and belief, and we are changing minds already about the possibilities of change. We are learning a lot about creating a political organization from scratch. Clearly, I have never done that. I've done other things from scratch for the first time, like college, helping organize it. And I'm in the same situation here. The good thing is that I know processes that need to be followed in order to set up something, because I've done it before, but never in this area. But I'm very comfortable with the unknown, with the fluid situation. That's where I'm the strongest, where you have to improvise. That's probably where I'm the strongest, the flexibility of the situation. And so I keep reminding people that I really had to do this. Something inside me told me that I had to do this. I get back to the country and face the challenge. Therefore, whatever the outcome is, I'm going to be fine with it, because my determination to do it is not conditioned on a certain degree of success. It is guided by the desire to make a contribution. Very pleased with what is happening. Didn't expect it, not because I didn't believe that it could happen, but just because I did not mentally set out the goal for any number, any kind of success or lack of it. I basically was just preparing myself for the task at hand. Not driven by surveys, by the numbers, driven by people's eyes and hearts and their lives and how I can contribute to it. So So just to reiterate, I'm very, very pleased with what is happening, how fast it happened, and the people who stood by me and decided to do this with me. And that's how it's going to be till the very end. We will just keep plugging and working on it, hoping for the best, but not be discouraged by setbacks that will come inevitably, both successes and setbacks ahead of us. And we just have to establish the right culture, have the right set of goals, have the right hearts in the end to succeed.
You're a remarkable man. I've said that many times.